I'm glad to be with you good people this morning to share a few thoughts concerning the significance of the Lord's Supper. There are some things that our Heavenly Father cannot, in the very nature of things, put into words. His speech is not only lingual, it's also the speech of action. And symbolic action plays a large part as he ministers his life to us. I read from the 7th chapter of St. John a few verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. When these words were first spoken, both the disciples and the Jews in whose hearing they were uttered were confirmed, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus told them plainly a few moments later, the flesh profiteth you nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The word of God is the flesh of God. The word of God is the life of God. And this our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strove to impress upon those who heard him. As one reflects upon the, the types and shadows that have come down to us through history, he recalls that the Jewish Passover was replaced by the Lord's Supper. The Passover, you will recall, was eaten by the children of Israel the night before they left Egypt. The Paschal lamb was to be prepared according to strict instructions. No bone was to be broken. The blood was to be sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintels of the homes. And the scriptures has it that when this was done, the destroying angel passed by the children of Israel and they were preserved. This meal was to be food to sustain them on the journey from bondage, the bondage of Egypt, to the freedom of the promised land. And this continued down with the Jews until our Lord came and reestablished his church as he had intended. And since he himself was to be the Lamb of God and was the Lamb of God, he took the feast of the Passover, changed its form, designating himself as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And during the Last Supper, you will recall, he took bread and broke it, blessed it, gave it to his disciples. And the same way with the cup of wine. Again, these are but types and shadows or symbols of something far more significant. Bread is the staff of life, and wine is its overflowing zest. And these symbols our Lord took and made them speak of a spiritual reality which lies behind them. There are many symbols in human life. The flag is a symbol. The ring we give when we're married or engaged is a symbol. The handshake is a symbol, and so forth and so on. But these symbols are not essential symbols. They're not capable of becoming essential symbols. But when an essential symbol is enacted, that for which it stands takes place. And the sacrament is capable of becoming an essential symbol. So that actually, as we partake of the bread and wine, in the true spirit of communion with our Lord, he actually graces us by his Spirit, and we partake as the children of Israel partook, according to the words of Paul, of that spiritual rock, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. No wonder the Jews of his day were perplexed when he said, I'm the bread of life, and you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. After our Lord departed, there were many, many mystery religions that looked upon certain animals as sacred, and the novitiate into these various mysteries would assemble and drink the blood and eat the flesh of the sacred animal, thereby supposing that the virtue that was in the sacred animal would pass into them. This, of course, is a corruption of what we do here today. There's another aspect of this most vital part of our religious life. As I say, God cannot say everything he has to say to us in words. And he has devised this means as one of the means, in addition to linguistic speech, by which he says something to us which cannot be said in any other way. Love is the motivation for the kingdom. And the only instrument love has for the accomplishment of its purpose is sacrifice. There is no other. Love and sacrifice go together. And not only this, sacrifice, which is prompted by love, enters into the love that prompts it and enriches and deepens and strengthens it. And so our Heavenly Father has told us that he would gather his saints together, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. We truly partake of the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then today we shall be filled with the love of God. And that love will continue in us by diligence to prayer. And as we seek to practice what love prompts us to do, when God puts into our hearts the things he wants us to do by his Spirit, we should always move out and do them. Because in that way, the Spirit which prompts us is secured to us and grows within us until finally perhaps we can say with Paul, it is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of Zion, will be an outgrowth or a byproduct of the activating of the Spirit of God. Without him, we cannot build it, and without us, he will not build it. And so he invites us to come together to his table, loving each other and serving each other. Not that we should be ingrown, but that our love and our service to each other should give us the feel of what it must be like to serve all other people. So as we minister together this morning and partake of these sacred emblems, let us center our hearts on the Lord Jesus, the altogether lovely one. And I am sure that with you we shall experience that indwelling of the good Spirit, which will prompt us to do that which is good and that which is right, and help us to put away from us those things which ere long we have known, each one of us, impede the coming of his kingdom in our lives. May this be an hour of introspection and of outgoing. May we find him in our hearts, that we may be permitted to express him in our lives, is my prayer.